Palliative care has often been associated with elderly people who are dying. Not anymore. These days, palliative care is much more than that. It means supporting patients and their families, no matter what their age. And it doesn't mean death is imminent. To get an idea, KUOW's Ruby DeLuna brings us the story of one Bellingham family's experience.
2 years ago in October, Mark and Alice Beatty got a phone call that every parent dreads. Their son Adam had been in a rollover car accident on I-5. He was 27 years old. He had been airlifted to Harborview Medical Center. He was unconscious.
If they wouldn't have told me it was Adam, I wouldn't have been able to identify him, to recognize him just from his face. He was so hurt and broken.
But the head trauma was the biggest concern. His brain had swollen. Doctors gave him medication to help stabilize the pressure.
We weren't allowed to touch him or hold him or hug him because there was a concern that that interaction would cause him to have a reaction.
It was agonizing not being able to hold their son. A week after he was admitted, Mark and Alice Beatty still didn't know whether he was going to live. They were waiting to get the results from an MRI scan. They feared the worst.
We were talking about Adam's funeral and what we would do because we thought that the news was going to be so bad and we felt like we needed to prepare as we could.
That's when a palliative care specialist met with the Beattys. Alice Beatty was expecting to talk about hospice.
End of life. Just making the person comfortable for the end of life.
But it wasn't about that. In Adam's case, he had a team of specialists to help treat his injuries, the head trauma, his lungs, his bones. The palliative care specialist helped them look at the big picture, the long road ahead of Adam's recovery.
At one point, she asked us to think about what kind of a recovery would be okay with us.
What would be okay with Adam?
What
would be acceptable for Adam?
The Beattys say having a palliative care specialist was like having a mentor, an advocate to help them navigate through the complex maze of healthcare and the myriad decisions they had to make. Like the time when doctors took Adam off the ventilator and placed a tracheal tube.
For me, this was one of the scarier times because we knew we were making a decision to carry Adam for a very long time medically. We had no idea if he would come out of the coma anymore, if he didn't, then what?
Had Adam Beatty's accident happened in the 90s, palliative care wouldn't have kicked in unless he was near death. But by then, it would have been too late for his family to make choices for his care. And often, the results were not good.
There were studies that showed that many patients were dying in ICUs on life support when their clearly expressed wishes were not to die that way.
Dr. Randall Curtis is director of the Cambia Palliative Care Center at UW Medicine.
Doctors and nurses weren't willing to talk to patients about prognosis. They thought it would take away their hope. But if a patient doesn't know what their prognosis is, how can they possibly make decisions about what kind of care they want?
Curtis launched Harborview's palliative care program in 2003. What doctors have learned over the years is that patients and families need a lot of support early on, and they need to have conversations about the good, bad, and likely scenarios they may encounter during the illness.
And I think that's where palliative care can really help families think through, okay, what is important to this person? What are their values and goals? What would they find acceptable? In terms of the outcomes of this healthcare and the quality of their lives.
In response, doctors can prescribe the kind of care that matches the patient's wishes. More and more hospitals are incorporating palliative care in their programs. It's estimated there are more than 1,400 such programs around the country. In 2013, the Cambia Health Foundation awarded $10 million to UW's palliative program to build on that work.
Okay, so should we start with a quiet shh? First.
It's been 18 months since Adam Beatty's car accident. Today he's doing vocal exercises with Alice as part of his speech therapy. In the background, his dog Angel thinks they're telling him to be quiet. Adam doesn't remember the accident, but he remembers the day he came home from the hospital.
I do remember coming home.
What were you most excited about when you came home?
Getting to sleep in my own bed and seeing all the neighbors.
Before the accident, Adam was a sociable and independent young man who loved driving his Jeep. These days, Adam tires easily and is more withdrawn, but he's determined to regain his strength. He works out every day.
I'm feeling good and about my progress.
Depending on how his shoulder heals, Adam plans to try golf or kayaking. His parents remark on how far he's come along. After 3 months in the hospital and months of physical rehab, he's starting to come out of his shell. They're grateful for the support they received during those tough times.
I can't imagine having a better experience. I can't imagine it having gone any better than it did in a terrible circumstance.
Beatty says having that kind of support helped put things in perspective, and it helped them make decisions that were right for their son. I'm Ruby DeLuna, KUOW News.